Father, we come into your presence again. We just ask for your divine help as we look at the very subject of prayer. We ask that you would show us from your word in Christ's name. Amen.
Okay, we find ourselves in 1 Timothy chapter 2 in our study this week. And as we continue through the first verse, let's read it for review. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercession, and giving of thanks be made for all men. Now, we'll just stop at the end of verse 1, and we'd like to just take a few minutes today, and maybe even tomorrow, on our second word of these four words in the subject of prayer. We see, yesterday we looked at supplications being a fervent request to God. And here today we see the word prayers. Prayers is a more general term. It's the term used for reverent approaches to God. We know in 1 Thessalonians 5:17, we see there a tremendous exhortation. Three words in the whole verse. It says, pray without ceasing. It goes on to say, in everything give thanks. Now there's another term we'll look at in the Lord's will in a couple of days, giving thanks. So it says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. So if you ever have a question of, what's the will of God for me? Well, my friend, the Word of God contains the will of God for the believer. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. But before that, the verse we'd like to meditate on is the word, the verses preceding that that says, pray without ceasing. This is an attitude of continual prayer. It's not that we're necessarily physically upon our knees praying at every minute of the day, but we're in the attitude, we're in a relationship, a close communion with the Lord to where we have that attitude always of prayer. Now, let's look at a few references on the subject of prayer. The Apostle Paul, if you would notice in the introductions of the letters he wrote to the different local assemblies of believers, that he always mentions prayer. Romans through 2 Thessalonians, with the exception of Galatians, I believe you'll find that he always mentions prayer. We see that in Romans and Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, 1 and 2 Thessalonians. Prayer to local assemblies. So if we would remember the main theme of 1 Timothy, the theme as we look at verse 3:15, it says, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. So as we look here at church order and the behavior of us that know Christ as we gather together in His name, as we gather together in an assembly of believers, we see in Acts as well. Turn back there if you have the scripture before you in Acts chapter 2, verse 42, early, real early in the church age. We see a familiar passage. And this verse in 42 says, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. That's what we see as teaching. Fellowship, which true fellowship is around the person of Christ. And in breaking of bread, there's the remembrance meeting of the worship time. And in prayers. So we see there, in this fourfold pattern of a local assembly of believers, prayers. Oh, yes, it is quite important. The teaching, the fellowship, the worship, we cannot leave out prayers. Remember in our text in 1 Timothy, it exhorts Paul, or Paul rather exhorts Timothy, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. This stresses the importance of prayer. For we need to be prayerful for going to study the Word and teach the Word. We need to be prayerful for going to have a right relationship with fellow believers, to have true fellowship. We need to be prayerful if we're going to worship Him in spirit and truth. So yes, prayer is a big part of a local assembly. Now we can go to the Old Testament for a moment and look at a good Old Testament illustration of prayer. Many ones are found praying throughout the Old Testament. Sometimes the word pray is used in a different light. If we were to look up, I believe in the book of Psalms is a good place, and in 1 Samuel as well, we'd see there that the word praise uses a different type of word to beseech. In other words, when it says, I pray you, it means I beseech you. And this is how the word is primarily used. If you look in the concordance, 1 Samuel and Genesis, I should have said, and also Psalms, you see pray and praying many times, but in Genesis and in 1 Samuel, it's more of a term of beseechment. I pray you, do this or do that. But when it's speaking of communion with God, let's look at an example in Daniel chapter 6. As we know, here was a man known for prayer. Now, those that were enemies to Daniel had convinced the king to make a petition or to make a decree. If any make a petition of any god or of man for 30 days except to their king, that he should be cast into the den of lions. Now they knew, these enemies of Daniel knew that Daniel was a man of prayer to the one true God. So when this was signed in writing, the law, the Medes and Persians, we see then in chapter 6 of Daniel verse 10, it says, now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. So a man knowing what had been declared, a man knowing that it would cost him greatly, pray. Now, here's a man that we could say, as in 1 Thessalonians 5:17, he had a attitude of prayer. Oh, there was 3 times when he specifically prayed. But you know, I like to think that this is an example of someone who had an attitude of prayer. When it says pray without ceasing, this is what it is to not only have certain times that you set aside to pray as believers in Christ, but that you have the attitude to where at all times you have the attitude of praying without ceasing. Well, this man, Daniel, was saved by his God. He was faithful to him. And as we could go through this story of him being cast in the den of lions, the king quickly went the next morning to see what had happened, and there he was, Daniel, had been saved by the Lord, this prayerful man. So as we think of that, we could turn also into the New Testament, into the book of Hebrews. Look at a couple of verses there. Look first at chapter 10 of the book of Hebrews. Chapter 10, verse 19, it says, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he had consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. My friend, only through the Lord Jesus Christ do you have access to pray, to truly speak to the Creator, to our Father in heaven. You must be one of his children, and that comes by the blood of Jesus. And if you are a believer in Christ, it says here that we have boldness, we have security, we have confidence to enter into the holiest by this blood of Christ, by a new and living way. Yes, Christ truly is the way, the truth, and the life. And he's the one that saves us. He's the one that keeps us. And yes, by him we have access to God in prayer. We could back up to Hebrews chapter 4. It says, let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. We have boldness through Christ again, that we can enter under that throne of grace. We can obtain mercy. We can find grace, as it says here, to help in time of need or for seasonable help. For seasonable help. Now, let's be honest. When is there a time that we don't need help? But there are specific times when we really need some specific guidance from our Lord. And he's the one. It says here that we can obtain mercy and find grace in the time of need. So as we've thought about these different subjects of prayer, I've got a couple little quotes here that I believe is helpful. It says, be anxious for nothing. Be prayerful for everything. Be thankful for anything. Again, it says, be anxious for nothing, be prayerful for everything, and be thankful for anything. If you were to go throughout the New Testament, we could find many more illustrations of prayer. I've noticed some 35 times the word pray or praying or prayed, etc., is found in the book of the Acts in the early church. Also, the scripture says in 1 Peter 3:12, a quote from Psalm 34, for the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous and his ears are open unto their prayers. My friend, if you know Christ as your Savior, if you are righteous by Christ's sake, not your own righteousness, but if you're saved and positionally righteous, then he hears your prayers. Contrast that with what it says in John 9:31, that God heareth not sinners. He's all-knowing and all-present and all-powerful, so surely he physically can hear. But he desires a relationship before there's any fellowship, any communion. So he heareth not sinners. To have a relationship with him is what it takes for him to hear your supplications. Prayers, his ears are open unto the prayers of the righteous. And verse 12 goes on to say, but the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. We would just close today in saying, we beseech you, be reconciled unto God. For without Christ as your Savior, you have no access, no communion, no fellowship with the one true God. This is Mike Moody, along with Jeff Buckles and Mark Beebe, the Two Roads and Two Destinies Radio Ministry.